Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus.
Talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about standing up for Jesus this morning. We're going to talk about putting on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll probably make it through about three verses this morning, but next week we'll cover the armor. But that's what we're talking about this morning, standing up for Jesus, and we're soldiers of the cross, and we need to stand in His strength alone, right? That's what he says here. Why don't I read about three verses here, and I think that's about all we're going to cover this morning, because I kind of want to introduce this and spend a little bit of time on it. Next week we'll probably finish it up, but this week I want to just get about three verses and try to talk about that. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And I just want to read one more thing, and then he says, "Stand therefore." And what I want us to know this morning is we're in a battle. And if you're a Christian this morning, the Bible says that we're in a battle, right? When you don't know the Lord, you got a different kind of battle. You're just fighting with yourself about doing wrong, and you don't really care whether you do right, and there's not really a battle going on there. But once you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what happens? At that moment, there begins a battle, not only on the inside about fighting to do right and fighting to do wrong. You want to do right. What does Paul say over in Romans 7? He says, "The things I want to do, I don't do. But the things I don't want to do, I do them," right? So there's an internal battle, and there's a battle started there. Because the moment you trust Christ, you want to change. You used to want to do what was wrong and not do as much right. But now that we know Christ, we want to do what's right, but we don't always do it, do we? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to begin to get into this and realize that, first of all, we need to know that we're in a war. In Isaiah, 14, it talks about the devil. He says, "I will, I will, I will, I will." Five times he says, "I will." And you know what? We get that eye disease today too, don't we? Have you noticed today? I know we got the iPhones and the iPads and the iTunes and I this and I that. And who can sing and who can dance, and are you smarter than a fifth grader? It's all about us, right? We've talked about that before, that somebody says that we're in the new millennium. And, it's all about me, right? Satan rebelled against God, and some of the other demons joined him. And if you know anything about your Bible, you see that in Genesis chapter 3, what happens? The devil comes to Eve as a serpent. And what does he do? He tempts her and he deceives her and he tricks her. But Adam, because he wants to be with his wife and he doesn't want to give up his wife, he deliberately rebelliously sins, because it says that her husband being with her right there when she ate it, and he should have been the man of the house and said, no, God said we're not to eat that, right? But he didn't. And so he let her eat it. And ever since then, guess what? We've been in a battle, right? Because since then, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I just wanted to kind of talk about that spiritual war that, you know, that it talks about in Genesis 6, that the sons of God took the wives from the daughters of men. That's talking about the angelic host, that they came in and they took wives, human wives, these angelic beings did. They took on human form. And in Job 1, we remember it says that the sons of God did what? They came before God. And when you look in the Old Testament, every time you see the term sons of God, it always talks about angels. And so the angels came before God. Not until the New Testament are we called the sons of God, right? We're called the children of God. But in the Old Testament, they came before them, and the devil came with them. Satan came with them. God says, have you seen my servant Job? And he's a righteous man, an upright man, blameless. And the devil says, basically, he's a paid lover. If you take his stuff away from him, what will he do? He will blaspheme you. And God says, you can have at it. And so the devil begins to fight with Job. And there's a spiritual battle going on there. Maybe you know about the one that's in 2 Kings chapter 6. Y'all remember the man Elisha. Elisha and his servants out there. And they're surrounded by all this army, this humongous army. And it says that his servant says, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than they who are with them. And then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so basically, that's God's angels surrounding them, right? He said, those that are with us are more than that are with them. We know in 2 Samuel chapter 24, it says, and Satan stood up against Israel, and he moved David to number Israel and caused David to sin. He tempted David to sin, and so there was a spiritual battle. And then the clearest one that we know of is the one in Daniel chapter 10. I don't know if you remember that story or not, but in Daniel chapter 10, what happens? Daniel's praying and fasting for 21 days, right? And he keeps praying and he keeps fasting. And what happens at the end of 21 days? Finally, this angelic being comes and he stands before Daniel and he says, Daniel, from the moment that you began to pray, your prayer was heard. But he says, but the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days. And he says, and then he says that Michael the archangel came and helped me. And so I was able to come and deliver the message. Now who's Michael the archangel? He's an angel, right? So there was a spiritual battle. And I remember reading something that my mother wrote. I wish I'd have thought to bring that this morning. But I think it was a quote from, anybody know him? Henry Blackaby did the Experiencing God books. I think that's his name, Henry Blackaby. But what he said, what she said in that thing, she'd written out a quote out of one of his books, that prayer is the battle. That when we pray, that's where the battle begins, because somehow our prayers, I don't know how it works. Anybody ever read those books? Can't think of the guys, Peretti. Something Peretti, Frank Peretti, and it talks about a battle going on and how, you know, we always used to see the thing on TV and we used to see old Flip Wilson, he pretended there was a devil on one side and an angel on another. Well, in a way, you know, that's almost kind of, it doesn't happen exactly like that, but there's the evil trying to tempt us to do evil, And then there's the good angels trying to protect us and keep us doing right through God's power. But you know what? Somehow prayer works into that. We'll talk about that more. We know that the Lord, when he came to earth in the New Testament, what did he do? He performed some exorcisms, right? He cast out some demons. There was that demoniac from Gerasene or the Gadarene. It's said a couple of different ways, but the two men were so demon-possessed and they were so exceedingly violent, it says in Matthew 8, that no one could pass by that road, and behold, they cried out, said, What do we have to do with you, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? And another one, he says, and seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him and crying out with a loud voice, says, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me. For he had been saying to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit, and began to ask him, What is your name? And he said, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he began to entreat him earnestly not to send them out of the country. And Jesus said another spot, this same, quoting the same thing, and he said, What is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him. And they were entreating him not to command them to depart in the abyss. And I think that's the same story in Mark 5, where what does he actually do? He sends them into the pigs, right? And the pigs run off the cliff and they die. And so we know that there's a spiritual battle going on. When we read in Isaiah 14, we see that in Ezekiel 28, we see that a third of the angels rebelled against God at the same time that the devil did. When you come to the Christian life, basically we're in a war. That's how you can define it. And that's why today we were singing, Stand Up, Ye Soldiers of the Cross, right? And Paul says says at the end of his life to Timothy, he said, I fought the good fight. He says, I fight not as one who beats the air. He tells Timothy, he says, be a soldier who endures hardship, right? And so all these things happen. And remember the very first thing that happened when Jesus started his ministry. Anybody remember what happens there? Jesus gets baptized by John, and it says, and immediately the Spirit led him out in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, right? And it says that Satan tempted him three times. He tempted him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And at the end of that time, it says Satan left him for what? A more opportune time. And you know what? That was the beginning. It happened out in the wilderness. But you know what? At the end of Jesus' life, guess what? He gets tempted again in the garden. Have you ever wondered why Jesus sweat great drops of blood? I'm sure the devil was there the whole time saying, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to go to the cross. Isn't that what he told him in the wilderness? He says, you don't have to go to the cross. He says, just bow down and worship me today, and you won't have to go to the cross, right? And I'll give you all of this. That's what the devil told Jesus. And I'm sure when he was in that garden and he's realizing that he's going to the cross and that he's going to be separated from the Father and what he's going to have to endure on that cross, that I'm sure that was, you know, we get tempted, but Jesus was tempted way more than we were, because guess what? He never gave in because he was perfect, right? Sometimes we've been told that being a Christian as we get older, that it gets easier. But you know what? It doesn't get any easier, does it? And I think sometimes, you know, just like Jesus, as closer he was getting to accomplishing his goal with going to the cross, then what happened? The harder it got, right? And he sweat great drops of blood. But you know what? As we go through the time, we can see the sense of accomplishment that we've overcome. You know, we talk about those verses in Romans chapter 5, and he says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience character, and character brings what? Hope. And you can look back over your life and you can see how God got you through this and God got you through that. God got you through the other things. And that's what David said. I delivered the animals from the paw of the lion, and I killed the bear. And he says, how much more can I kill this uncircumcised Philistine, right? There's another scripture I want to read. And this is kind of introduction, so I'm going to be skipping around a lot, quoting a lot of verses, so you're really probably not going to have time to turn to some of these verses, but I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. And he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, for casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And there's another verse, you know, 1 John 4:40 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is what? Greater than he who's in the world. And you know, we talk about the devil and his power and all these things, and we know that the devil, the Bible says that the things that are against us in this world are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he's not talking about, you know, just the world itself, but he's talking about the system of evil that's in this world. It is that Satan's identified as the ultimate culprit of our attacks, because he's the one that's behind it, right? I mean, who was it that ultimately sent Jesus to the cross? It was the devil who came in and possessed Judas, right? He said, and Satan possessed him, and he went out, and it was night. What God wants us to do is he wants us to be strong. And, you know, on our own, we're not, right? I mean, what was the verse that we read over in Ephesians chapter 3? Back when we were finding out who we are in Christ, over in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, right? So we got strength in the inner man. He tells us in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power, to his power that works in us, right? And what did he say over in Ephesians 1:19? He tells us over there, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And so what is he trying to tell us here? There's a battle going on. And you know, as we finished up chapter 5, 22 through 6, 9, what were we talking about? We were talking about being filled with the Spirit, right? We talked about that we're filled with the Spirit, not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And we talked about the effects of being filled with the Spirit. And what were the effects of being filled with the Spirit? It was speaking and singing about the Word of God. It was talking about the fact that we'd have joy down in our heart. What's that old song? I got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart, right? And it's there to stay. And then he talked about that we'd be giving thanks for everything. And then the last thing we talked about is we'd be submissive, right? And then we talked about those six different groups of people that were to be submissive, right? Husbands to wives, and the husband to Christ, and the children to the fathers, and the employers and employees. And you know what happens when you live in the Spirit and when you are submissive and you do God's will? You're really in a battle, right? Because you know what? A lot of times the devil doesn't really care what we do as long as we're not doing anything for God. But when we begin to get serious about doing something for God, when we begin to get serious about doing His will and praying and telling others about Jesus, you know what He wants to do? He begins to fight with us, right? I remember hearing a story, and the guy just told me again the other day. He reminded me of this story. It was John Wesley, and you know, he rode about 80-something thousand miles on horseback, just preaching the Word of God all over the United States. And he said one day, he says, "Lord, I don't feel like I'm doing anything for You lately, that I must not be in Your will because I haven't been persecuted lately." And he was down on his knees praying in this field, and all of a sudden this farmer threw a big old rock at him and hit him. And he said, "Thank You, Lord, now I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do." He knew that if he wasn't being persecuted, if he wasn't being attacked, that he wasn't doing what God wanted him to do, you know. Because when you're doing God's will, you know, some people think when you do God's will, everything's going to be perfect and wonderful. And then when crazy things start happening, they start thinking, "Well, I must be out of the will of God." Well, you know what? Because crazy things are happening don't mean that you're out of the will of God. Sometimes that means you're dead in the center of it, right? Because that's when things really get tough. That's when the battle gets crazy. I remember a girl telling me one time that after she trusted Christ, she said, "Well, I think I trusted Christ about a month ago, but things just seem to have gotten worse." And I said, "Well," I said, "that's probably because the old devil's been attacking you, trying to stop you, you know." I remember when I was coming to the Lord and I was persecuted at work and given a real hard time, and the devil threw everything, I think, at me. And I was in that process, and I don't know, I think he threw everything he had at me trying to stop me from coming to the Lord, but it didn't work, you know. God wants us to be powerful in His strength, because guess what? You know, it never ceases to be warfare, but the devil's always got snipers around us trying to shoot at us, you know. That's the way it is with the devil. He just doesn't come out and attack you, but what does he do? He snipes at you, right? What we want to see here today is kind of, as we finish up the rest of these verses, is he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." We're going to be strong in who? In the Lord, right? So we need, first of all, to know that there's a war going on. And second of all, we need to know the source of our strength. And we just got through singing that. You know, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own, but stand up for Jesus in His strength alone. And that's what he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I could read you a bunch of places, but I'll just read a few of them, because I focus so much on the other side. Now I want to show us some of the good side. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, I remember my son, my wife made him a little plaque next to his bed because he used to get scared at night. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." He's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Remember, when we're in Christ, then that's when we have that power, right? I've been reading through the Old Testament about Joshua and Moses and Caleb and all these guys. And you remember in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, he tells them, he says, "Be strong and be of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with His people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes with before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed." Tells us over in 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, and be strong and be brave." In the Old Testament, Haggai, he tells Zerubbabel, he says, "Yet now be strong, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the Lord of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, right? In Joshua 1:6, he says, be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And it's in the power of his might. And I'll just read a couple more verses, but might not get as far as I thought we'd get this morning. But he says in Exodus 15:12, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And what does David say over in 1 Samuel 17? He says to the Philistine, you come with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He tells you in Psalm 18:1, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Tells us in Psalm 62:2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Over and over and over again, I was looking, and he says in Psalm 62:6, he says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. What are we looking at here? What does he say here? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. And then look down there in verse 13 and he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. You know, you stand and then you withstand because something's coming against you, right? And then he says, having done all to stand. And then he tells us in verse 14, stand therefore. Why do we stand? Because guess what? The battle is the Lord's, right? What does he say? Stand up for Jesus. See, we're called to stand in his strength. You know, so many people today think the way you battle the devil is you attack him and rebuke him and do all these things. But what does the Bible tell us here to do? It tells us to stand. And to stand therefore. And then when somebody comes against you, what do? You withstand, right? It's sort of like when the offensive team comes against you in the football, you know, and you're the defense. They come against you and they're trying to score, and you just pretend the devil's the offensive line and he's trying to score a temptation on you. And so he's coming at you and you withstand, right? You stand on your ground and you don't let him come by, right? You ain't used to draw a line in the sand and say, dare you to come past that line. That's kind of what we do. God says, there's a line in the sand and you stand behind that line and you say, okay, I'm standing in God's strength, right? And that's kind of what he tells us to do. He says that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He tells us over in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable. In other words, don't let him push you back, right? That stand still, it means to stand still. Remember, Moses was told in Exodus 14, he says, Moses said to the people, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. I was just reading a couple of days ago about Gideon. Remember Gideon? And they get down to 300 people. And what do? They go out with these pitchers and they put a torch in each one of them. And it used to be that they had a trumpet in one hand and a pitcher and with the torch in the other hand. And that was supposed to symbolize every time you have one trumpet and one torch, that was supposedly symbolize a legion of people So that would be 600 people. So that's 300 times 600. I don't know. That's a lot of people. And so when they busted those pictures, then people all killed themselves. And all they did was blew their horns and their trumpets and shouted, the sword of Gideon, you know, sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And God caused them to kill their own selves, right? And so, you know, that's what God tells us to do. If we'll stand in His strength, that we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We could talk about all the schemes of the devil. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. I just kind of wanted to introduce this. Let me read Psalm 91 and we'll close out today. It's a psalm that really talks about how God stands up for us. And He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. And I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, here's the deal, folks. We're in a battle. Guess who the winner is? God. And, you know, I was reading over in Revelation chapter 20 that even though those some of the people in Revelation 20, they stood and they ultimately win, they died in the battle, right? But ultimately, we're victors because faith is the victory that what? Overcomes the world, right? Now, I don't know if we have that song or not. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We are more than conquerors. What does it say in Romans 8:31? If God be for you, who can be against you, right? Remember, we are in a battle. But you know what? We got the Lord of hosts, the commander. Now what, Gideon, he came forward and he says, are you for or against us? And the Lord says, I'm the commander of the Lord of hosts. And then he realized he was talking to God, right? And you know what? When God's on your side, you got a big enough army. You don't need anybody else, right? If God be for you, who could be against you? I was trying to figure one to sing this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for Jesus who died on the cross and won the victory. Lord, we thank you that it's our faith that overcomes the world. And we just ask that you would help us to stand, to withstand, to stand there for, and having done all to stand, because you are the one who has the strength, Lord. And when we put our trust in you, you are our rock, you are our fortress, you are our high tower, you are our strength. And we can stand in you alone. As Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he wasn't talking about jumping over buildings, but what he was talking about, he said, that whether he was rich or poor, whether he was hungry or full, whether he was been mistreated or everything was well with him, he had learned how to be content in all things because it was Christ who strengthened him and enabled him to get through anything and everything. And we know just as Joseph when he was in that prison, that God was with him. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the furnace, that God was with them. And you said that you'd be with us when we pass through the fire and when we pass through the water, and the water will not overflow us, and the fire will not burn us, nor shall it scorch us. For you are the Holy One of Israel, and you love us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm the child without no more. I'm the widow left alone. So be love, be love.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out, go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.